Good morning. How are y'all? Good. I'm excited. I hope you are coming into God's house. You know, garment of praise already being brought to us this morning. Awesome opening prayer. What a beautiful word that was read. My name's John, one of the pastors at Vintage Church. It's just such a pleasure to be here. I don't have any announcements, which is annoying for me because I'm gifted in announcements. I'm so gifted in announcements and very humble with it as well. It's what I'm best at, you know, I think. So I'm going to just give you some announcements here. First of all, my brother, my good friend, Pastor Tanner, he's doing awesome. He just loves you all, and we love him. And he's visiting with some friends and preaching in Virginia. So I just wanted to know that he's good. So I was a Midtown greeter. That's what I was. Yeah. Announcements and greetings. So I'm just so multi-gifted. And or do you say multi? I think you say multi. So gifted, you know, and all of that. But also, Joel Lynch and Brian Woods, they are the best parking attendants in all of Raleigh and beyond, you know. I even hear there's flight patterns that come through RDU that want to land in that car park just because of Brian and Joe doing all of that stuff. You know, absolutely, absolutely awesome. And by the way, I've told Pastor Tyler this several times. I actually live in your zip code. Yes, I do. I do, just to say that. Privilege at working here. In my role, I have the privilege of being with all three churches, Vintage Churches. Spent a good bit of time lately in Durham. Durham loves you. Downtown loves you. I have the privilege of praying for you with the staff at 10:30, Vintage staff, every Monday. We pray for you specifically. And I want you to know that because I think that's very important. I was brought over by IBM over here a good few years ago. And my daughter invited me to Vintage. So I also came as a visitor. So if you're a visitor here for the first time, watch out. You might end up here one night making awesome announcements. And I also, you know, I just love this job. One of the things that they say, you know, this calling, this job. One of the things that they say to me is if you find a job you love. If you find a job you love, you will never work again in your life. Praise God, that's exactly the way I feel about this particular role that I have here at Vintage. I also know something very strongly about what's happening in 2019. We've had an awesome year at Vintage. Praise God for all that God's doing. We've got a tremendous staff. I just love meeting with the elders, meeting with the staff, and we're just all together. You know, that's an awesome feeling when you can walk into a room and you look around and you just know that everybody's in the one page, the one place. And it just keeps getting better. So in 2019, Pastor Tyler began to reveal to us what his vision is for Vintage in 2009 and beyond. You should be excited. I'm very excited about what's going on. So that's the end of my announcements. God's word was beautifully read, thank you. And we could sing more, I think, after just hearing that and just go home, you know? We could do that, you know, you hear God's word being read, you've already sung, you've been prayed over. I'm not sure I need to do this, you know? But Pastor Tanner said, this is the final Sunday of 1 Thessalonians. You should talk a little bit about it. See what God has to say about it. And that's exactly what we're going to do now. So I would ask you would just open up your Bibles. If you don't have one, I'm sure we can find you one. I love, or your devices, as they say these days, opening up your devices. I'm a kind of old school guy. I love hearing the opening of pages. I went to a Bible study fellowship for about 12 years. Love those guys. Still meet with some of those guys. Met one in Friday in Big Ed's, the Temple of Breakfast. It was awesome. And I was a member, I'd been asked a question at the end of one Bible study fellowship year. What was the most impactful thing that you remember from this year? And I said, you know, I sat across from Danny. And when I look at Danny's Bible, it's just so worn out. It's so tattered. I just know he reads that. I said, I would love to have a Bible like that one day. That's read. Pages are turned up, you know. That's the beauty and the power of the Word of God. The Bible just spoke to me without anybody even reading out it. And that's the power that we have, and that's the power that we're stepping into today. So what do we learn about, that comes out of this Bible? We're going to learn something from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Before we do that, let's just dig in and let's pray again and ask the Lord to come. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd get me out of the way, Lord, and you would just come in with all your power and that we would give you glory. I'm thankful for these friends, Lord, that have gathered here. You're gathering a church, Father God, to your glory. I'm thankful for this church called Vintage North that you've placed your thumbprint on. I'm thankful for the faithfulness and the obedience. I'm thankful, Lord, that this community that surrounds it, Lord, that your love would echo out into those neighborhoods and that you would continue to gather our people here. In Jesus' name, amen. It's funny how the passages that you get, you know, last time I was preaching in Durham, it was don't be idle, you know, admonish the idle, you know. And now I have don't quench the spirit. I think I was starting to feel that that somebody's messing with me. But here we are, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench the spirit. My kids used to listen to the Donut Man. I don't know if you've heard the Donut Man. I'm a CH, I'm a CHI, I'm a CHI. You know, like the song that we were going around in the Previa van. And I was thinking, you know, instead of me being the Donut Man, I'm the Do Not Man because of the passages that I'm asked to speak on. But I think it's important that we do a brief recap on what the Thessalonian church is all about. I think we've got a lot to learn from the Thessalonian church. And also look at the spirit that they especially were being warned not to quench. Here's what I ask you up front. When you start talking about the spirit, right? There's a lull comes over. There's a situation where there's a battle that begins, a spiritual battle. There's a familiarity comes into play. And even in your own heads, before it even gets to your heart, you're already saying, I got this. And I've heard this before. I know this spirit. Well, here's the thing that I've learned. There's a no and there's a no. There's a no intellectually and there's a no experientially, where you take what you know and you apply it and it becomes from the head to the heart and it pours out. I just ask that of you because I'm preaching to myself. There's been many a time I've sat where you've sat and I've got so familiar talking about 12 years BSF and beyond, coming and hearing 3 sermons every Sunday downtown, 9, 11, and 5. This is where the battle begins. Don't allow yourself to be lulled. So I challenge you experiencing this word. My son Robbie, he just moved to Nashville, Country Music Hall of Fame and all that good stuff. This is what the Thessalonian church would have been all about. They would have actually been inducted into the Church Hall of Fame. That's how popular, well-known people knew all about them. The Apostle Paul, he planted this church in Thessalonica or Salonica. Even the National Geographic today says it's one of the places you got to visit. It's one of the top destinations in the world. So what was it about this church? Well, this church was vibrant. winsome, contagious, fearless, even under persecution. That's a church that stood firm. That's a church that truly believed in the one true living God. This was a church that had a reputation of loving one, of loving the city, and loving the world. Does that sound familiar? Because they were well loved. The Apostle Paul loved them well. If you recollect back into what we've already read over these past weeks, he said he loved them like a fatherly love. He loved them just as a mother would comfort and love. That's a gracious love. That's not taking a hammer and hammering a good news into them. This is all about grace, but done under the power. That's maybe something that we can learn as we engage with the city and with the world. And his letter came after his disciple young Timothy visited and reported back. And Paul's letter was to encourage, spurring on, urging to keep on keeping on. Listen to this in 1 Thessalonians 2:6. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, a labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we do know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake? And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. This is hearts that are lit on fire, lit up by the Holy Spirit. It's a church ablaze with the gospel. And it was so ablaze that the Apostle Paul himself was brokenhearted to leave them and to go back, and was so desperate for Timothy to go and report on what was going on. Have you ever seen a church on fire? Do you want that? A church on fire. The gospel just can't be contained. So Alison and I, my wife, who's here this morning, we're coming out of the pit. One of my favorite barbecue places, bless your heart. Coming out of there, driving up Glenwood, and all of a sudden over in the corner, what do we see? This huge, massive fire. This smoke blazing up and the flames are shooting up. And I'm like, what is that? I mean, it was like some illusion. I couldn't believe it. It's not something you would expect in the darkness of that evening, about, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night. And then all you could suddenly, you could hear all of the fire engines and the noises, and roads were getting blocked off. And before we knew it, we couldn't move any further on Glenwood. Next to one of my other favorite cupcake shop, you know? Those cupcakes are awesome, by the way. So we park the car there, and we go out and we stand. And 2 blocks away is where the fire is. And it's an apartment block. You may have read it. It was like mid-March. And we're looking at that fire. And you could feel the heat on your face from two blocks away, and you could see the flames and the intensity of it, the pressure of it. We saw this large crane, you know, and just the hoist part of it, the big rope or metal rope or whatever it was with the hook on the end, it catches fire. And you see the fire burning right up to the top, and then you see the thing starting to topple. I'm saying to Alison, that's metal. That's the heat that's coming off that fire. That's a building that's ablaze. Can't be contained. But they did contain it, because the men came with the skills and with the hoses and put their lives on the line to control that fire and to get that fire under control. God bless them. My son-in-law, Josh, his dad's a fire chief. And one time we were having a barbecue at Josh's house. And there must have been about 14 people or 15 people. You can imagine the number of hamburgers that are getting thrown onto that grill. at the very end of the evening, I see this grill on fire. And I'm like, what? What's going on over there? Well, there's a fire chief. He's deliberately set this thing on fire so that he could burn off the grease. I'm like, you get sprays for that out of Lowe's, you know? And he's got this whole thing on fire. And then he does what you're told not to do. He's standing with a jug, dousing water on it, dousing water on it. And eventually, I'm like screaming, you know? I'm like, Allison, you know? Because that's my to-go, you know? If I'm in trouble, that's, you know? It's Allison and then the Holy Spirit, you know what I mean? This is fire of intensity, but the fire that we're talking about in the Thessalonian church couldn't be contained. Because this was a holy fire. This was a God-sent fire. This is a fire that came from heaven. Heaven-sent fire. A gospel fire that lit the church up, that it became, it shone like stars, it says. Shone like stars. And Jesus promised, this fire's going to come. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit arrives. And it looks like fire sitting on their shoulders. Can you imagine in this top room, and all of a sudden, this fire arrives sitting on their shoulders. And they're sitting looking across the room at each other going, something on your shoulder. You should take a look at that. And he's like, whoa! And he's like, you've got one as well. And he's trying to fox a fire sitting on their shoulders. Holy Spirit's arrived. And then all of a sudden, the people who receive it, like the apostle, like Peter, Peter's the guy who's down in the corner. The little girl's asking him, you know Jesus, don't you? And he's like, no, I don't. I don't know who you're talking about. All of a sudden, this guy, Apostle Peter, has got the flame on his shoulder, the fire of God on his shoulder, the Spirit of God in him. And all of a sudden, he's standing in front of 3,000 people proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and telling them to repent and be baptized. Boom. What happened? Holy Spirit comes from Pentecost. Holy Spirit sent from God. The same Holy Spirit that you and I have today. Amen. Thanks, brother. But here's the thing. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. We have it. We still have it. It came, and here's the great news. It never left. It's going to be here until Jesus returns. So, as the Thessalonian church was lit, so now are we. Lit up, like all my young friends downtown will say, hey, John, you're lit. We're lit. Amen? Amen? Okay. Now, here's my to my doubters and seeker friends. It's kind of always hard to say this, but you don't have this Holy Spirit yet. You don't have it. You know, God, one true supernatural God, created us. And we, left to ourselves, all turn aside from God. And we want to do it our way, not his way. We'll do it our way. So we all sinned. Everybody, we all sinned against God. And because of that, man who was created was separated. God, man, separated. No more relationship. Because God is a holy God. He's a good God. He's a just God. There was a penalty for sin. And the penalty of sin was death. Death. There was a physical death and there's a spiritual death. There's death. And yet, God didn't leave us alone. He didn't leave man alone. God comes to us. We don't need to make our way to him. He comes to us. And he sends Jesus. Jesus comes, Emmanuel, God with us, comes. This is great news. It comes. The one who had no sin, perfect, never sinned once, comes and chooses to die in my place. Come on now. Come on. Comes to die in my place. So he chooses, takes himself to the cross, crucifixion, torture, spat upon, whipped, everything that I deserved. John, I got it. He takes it all for me and for you and dies. But he didn't stay dead for long. He didn't stay dead for long. 3 days, he rises, rose from the grave, defeats sin, defeats death. So what? So we, me, you can have eternal life with him. Come on. Did you get excited about that, church? The Thessalonians were all over this. The Thessalonians got this. They were excited. They were on fire. So now eternal life is available to everyone, and including you today, doubter, seeker, including you today, if you decide this day to ask God to forgive you for all your sins and to put your trust solely in Jesus and put your faith in Jesus. And he will forgive you of your sins. And he will restore relationship. Restore relationship forever. Is that good news? It's really good news. Really good news. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Crushed. For our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Thank you, Tommy Wood. Healed. That's good news. So good news. So the Holy Spirit of God comes immediately, sets up his home. Soon as you receive the Holy Spirit, soon as you receive Jesus, Holy Spirit immediately comes, takes up house. Takes up house. This house, inside here. Crazy. Crazy love that he would come. I want to talk to the followers right now. Followers, we need to remember this. Come on. We need to remember this. Every morning before you get out of bed, Holy Spirit, Jesus, living in me, this temple, this broken, dying body, but full of life because of the love of Jesus Christ. Come on. You should be jumping out of bed going, what now, Lord? So easy for us just to accept it. So easy for it to kind of grow old. Think about it. This new occupant that's in here in this messed up, broken Airbnb, right? Comes to check me out. I'm living in you. Let's check out your house. And I'm like, where's your house? Oh, let me point you to Isaiah 6:1-4. This will give you a little indication of kind of what I'm used to, you know, just kind of daily life, you know. So in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet. And with 2 he flew, and one called to another and said, in his house, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Do you flip or buy? That's his house. So we're renovated inside so we can start to be thinking about what he's going to have us do on the outside. God's word. Listen, followers, doubter seekers. This is how we test what's going on outside, inside and outside. G.I. Packer quote, a simple Bible reader and a sermon hearer who is full of the Holy Spirit will develop a far deeper acquaintance with his God and Savior than a more learned scholar who is content with being theologically correct. I love that. You know, I'm not a theologian, but I love this. I can read this. Children can read this. There's children right now over in your Sunday school reading this. Keep reading. Keep reading to your children. Keep singing to your children. Maybe not the donut man, but keep singing. Keep singing to your children. It's a plumb line. It's a standard. It's a weapon. It's a sword of truth. That's what it is. It's dynamos. Dynamite. Just grab a little piece of this. Boom. Changes lives. That's what this Bible's all about. So we've got to stand on the promises of God just as the Thessalonian church stood. Then we have an opportunity through this same Holy Spirit that rose them up will rise up in us as well. Here's the thing though. There's no countdown clock here, so I could be here for another hour. Ask yourself this. Why this warning? Here's this church on fire, Holy Spirit. I really don't know that the Apostle Paul hadn't warned us. I would never have thunk it that this spirit could possibly be extinguished. This spirit could be put out. How? Why? What's the cause? To put out the Holy Spirit. And God is sovereign, by the way. I just want to mention that. God's still in control while all of this is going on. We are not manipulating God. But God in his mercy, God in his free will, God who chooses, he will do with this what he wants to do. So I'm not moving God anywhere. He's still in control. But Sam Storm's quote is this, the Spirit comes to us as a fire, either to be fanned into full flame and given the freedom to accomplish his will, or be doused and extinguished by the water of human fear, control, and flawed theology. That's what can put it out. We, left to ourselves, can douse it, just like the fire chief. Fear, wrong thinking, hatred. We can douse that fire. That's why the warning is there. But here's the thing too, Ephesians 6:12. Now we're starting to get into something. Now we should sense that there's a battle about to begin here. I feel it. Even when I was preparing this, I felt the weight of it. The weight of it. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There's an opposition. There's an opposition that's starting to come into play here. Francis Chan quote, if I were Satan and my ultimate goal was to thwart God's kingdom and purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. That's a strategy for you. That's what you're up against. That's why you're not getting out of bed on fire, because there's an opposition that's quenching, and that's his objective. And he's a liar, and he's deceitful, and he's out to destroy. And we need to be aware of that. We need to know that that's what's going on. Test it. Test it. Look around your friends. Maybe even some people that are no longer here or attending any other church. They needed to hear that. My heart breaks. There's better men than me have fallen. You need to be praying for your pastors. You need to be praying for them. So, here's an interesting thing. I went to a prayer, silent prayer time, the other morning, and here's what comes out. During my time there, 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 6, the king of Syria, he's at war with Israel. He's at war with God's people. And he sends for his servants, and he says to his servants, I don't know what's going on. There's a mole in here. There's a mole in this camp. Somebody is telling God's people what I'm going to do before I do it. Which one of you is it? It's in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's great. You can take a look. He says, my ambushes are not working. I want to go and ambush those guys, and they don't show up because you know I'm going to be there. How does that happen? It's one of you guys. They go, no. It's a prophet. It's God's man. This guy, God's man. He's the one who's doing it. What? You mean, what was he doing? He even hears what you're thinking when you're in your bedroom. King's like, what? You're kidding me. Go get this man. Go after him. Go get him. Bring him here. So they send this mighty army, horses, chariots, all of them head out of town to go get Elisha, the prophet. So they get and they surround, it's the middle of the night, and this huge army, horses, chariots, surrounded Elisha. Elisha's sleeping, servant's in the next room. Servant gets up early, go to make the coffee. Elisha's still sleeping. Servant comes running back in. Elisha, prophet Elisha, we're surrounded. What are we going to do? There's horses, there's chariots. They're all around us here. What are we going to do? Elisha's like, gets out of his bed, puts his slippers on. Puts a robe on, says, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. What? We don't have time for that. Yeah, we don't have time for that. Has that ever happened to you? Spiritual warfare. Don't have time to pray. But not the man of God. Man of God says, no, we're going to take the time. So he prays. Heavenly Father, Father God, open the eyes of my servant. Let him see what's going on here. Open up his eyes so that he can see. So Elisha's eyes gets opened up. And what does he see surrounding Elisha? A bigger army. He sees chariots of fire all there to protect Elisha. A bigger army than what they've got. And the servant's going, ho ho, look what we've got. We've got more than you. You know, all of a sudden he's a man of faith because his eyes have been opened and he's seen what he has on his side. And the story goes on that Elisha blinds the army and he says to the army, the enemy blinds them and he says, hey, you're in the wrong city. Follow me. Come this way. You're going the wrong way. Come follow me. Have you heard that before? That's a battle that's going on around us. That's a battle that we are fighting against. But you know, just as Elijah said, it may look like we're surrounded, but God, we're surrounded by you. What about that promise? Huh? Then you can say, this is how I fight my battles. I fight my battles with the Word of God, prayer, and the Holy Spirit opening up our eyes and being on our side. I'm going to jump ahead now. So, here's how I'm going to kind of finish and bring it together here. I'm going to give the pro-presenter a little bit of a challenge. So there I am in Sola Cafe. You know Sola? You eat all of those mini donuts because I sign off the expenses for them. You guys eat a lot of mini donuts. I'm sure it's not Cara on her own that's eating all of those. So I'm there with my granddaughter, 3 years old. Granddad, mini donuts, love it. Her mother steps in. As far as I'm concerned, she could have as many mini donuts as she wants. But her mother, no, you need to eat the peanut jelly and sandwich first before you eat the mini donuts. I'm like, whoa, that's hard. So I've got this huge brownie. She clocks the brownie. Her eyes are huge. She's like, what, Granddad? Look at the size of that brownie. And I was like, yeah, I know, it's a big one. And I said, you eat half of that sandwich, you eat one of those, and you can have my brownie. A piece of my brownie. She's not having it all. So anyway, the conversation goes on, talking about everything. She's up and all over the place. She's like one of these, you know, like battery-operated bunnies. She's everywhere. One little piece and then she's off, you know. So anyway, she comes in. Granddad, your plate's empty. Oh my goodness. So it is. I ate the whole thing. And I just look at her and my heart, it's as if I look in her eyes, you know. And she already had my heart in her hand anyway. But now she's got both hands around my heart. And I'm looking into these little pathetic eyes. And she says to me, I said, I'm sorry, Ayla. I'm greedy. I'm really greedy. And she says, no, Granddad. You just forgot. You just forgot. And that's the message I bring to you this morning. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not forget what Jesus did for us on the cross. Do not forget that he sent the Holy Spirit so that you could have life and that you could have life abundantly. And you could set this house on fire if you just truly stood on the promises of this book. And if you didn't allow busyness, now there's something. There's a word right now. Don't use busyness as an excuse. Don't be using career as an excuse. Don't be using your calendar as an excuse. Give him the first fruits. Give him the first fruits. Be the church. Be the Thessalonian church. Be Vintage North. because you have your own DNA. God's put his own thumbprint on you. You are who you are meant to be. Be the church. And then we take our fruit. We take that fruit. We take love. We take joy. We take peace. We take patience. We take kindness. We take goodness. We take faithfulness. We take gentleness. And we take self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. We pray. We read God's word. We trust in the promises of God. And we may be surrounded . This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for these friends. Father God, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would take this little word, Father God, and you would just set it ablaze. You would set it on fire. Set hearts on fire, Father Jesus, to your glory, because it's all about you. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, just as Elisha prayed for his servant. Lord, I pray that you would open my eyes and you would open our eyes as a family of Vintage Church. We pray and ask these things. The people of God said, amen. Amen.